I think it was Carol Hughes' favorite band, Chicago, who asked this question: does anybody really know what time it is? Then what did they ask? Does anybody really care? Yes, that's right. That could have been how Paul began this fifth chapter of 1 Thessalonians. He could have said, does anybody really know what time it is? And then he could have really, really asked, does anybody really care? Because what Paul wanted to tell people was that he knew what time it was, and he thought that we ought to care. He begins this passage now concerning the times and the seasons. Another way that one might translate that from the Greek is concerning the passing time and the right time. Time that passes day by day is the first thing he's talking about. And then the thing there that's translated seasons usually means the right time for something to happen. So concerning passing time and the right time, here's some things you need to know. You need to know what's going on, says Paul, because something incredible has happened in your own lifetimes. He's speaking, of course, to the Thessalonians, but those words are important for us today. You see, here's what Paul believed with all of his being had happened. He believed that an age of the world had begun to end because a new age, a God-ordained age of salvation, had broken in to history through Jesus Christ. So that as Paul tells the story of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he's not just talking about some one person, Jesus, he's talking about the beginning of a new age of the world, an age of salvation, of well-being, of wholeness, of God breaking into the world so that we might participate in that new age. Paul wants to make sure that they get it. I want to make sure this morning that we can try to get it as well. Something has begun already, even though there are still signs of the old age around. And in fact, the old age might try to convince us that it's still the right age. The old age is going to talk to us about security and about peace, and it's going to say, everything's okay. We don't need the changes that Paul was writing about. We don't need the changes that broke into the world through Jesus Christ. So Paul tries every single thing he can to get us to understand the times and the seasons. Last year, I don't think we had a very good change of the seasons in fall. Something wasn't right, the temperature or the moisture or whatever. But this year, have you noticed? We got some colors. We actually got some fall colors. The bushes out here on the side, the west side of our parking lot between us and the golf course, are called a burning bush. And last year, they didn't burn much. This year, those babies are on fire. Notice them as you drive out. They are just flaming red. You know it's fall when you go outside. The sun is shining, but the air is crisp. It's not quite winter time, and the leaves are on the trees, and they're beginning to fall, and the colors are beautiful. We know when the right season for certain things occurs because there are signs. Hopefully, sometime in the next 30 to 45 minutes, little butterball thermometers are going to pop in turkey breasts. We'll know it's time. I always know when it's spring training season for baseball, because around here, all of the nasty Chicago Cubs jokes come out. I know it's time, right? The signs are there. So what are the signs that there's been an inbreaking of God's love and salvation into the world? Paul says, of course, the resurrection of Jesus is a sign. and says that we need to live into this, and please, don't be fooled. Don't be confused by those who say there's peace and there's security. Please discern the times. So I've spent the last couple of weeks trying to discern the times. I've tried to ask myself, am I living into a new age, and are others living into this new age with me? And here are some signs of the times that I've seen. And some of these that I'm going to mention actually came from the Times, the New York Times. But these are items you could find in other places as well. Here are some signs of our times. War. Country after country after country, our own countrymen and women fighting, and those of other nations. War is a sign of our times. Abuse. Abuse in workplaces, abuse based on sexuality and based on gender and on age and always on power and on race. And on religion. Abuse is happening each and every day in each and every place, and now we're remembering and thinking about and learning about the ways in which it happens in the halls of power in Washington, D.C., and in state houses all around our country, and ways in which it's been ignored or forgiven or pushed under the rug time and time again. These are signs of our times. The Savior of the world was in the news last week. Did you see it? Salvatore Mundi, the last known Leonardo da Vinci painting, the last known unsold that isn't found its place in a collection somewhere, was up for auction last week. People before the auction thought that this picture, a painting of Jesus holding a globe of the world, might go for $100 million. That boggles the mind. For a piece of canvas with some paint on it. Nothing against Da Vinci's genius. Nothing against the value and importance of art in our lives. My goodness. But $100 million. Wouldn't that have been incredible? We all know it didn't get $100 million at auction. It got $450.3 million at auction. A sign of the times is that somewhere one person or one entity has $450.3 million that they can spend to buy the Savior of the world and keep it somewhere in their own private collection, while, signs of the times, people are starving. People are going without health care. People are naked. Now, I'm not saying necessarily that it's that one person or entity's personal sin that they can afford to purchase that, but I am saying a sign of our times is when people have specific needs, the resources are not there for them, and some people have lots and lots of the resources. When people are feeling powerless, there's no one there to defend them, and people who have much power are doing things that are disgusting, illegal, immoral, unethical, inappropriate, rude, selfish, and sinful. And no one's there to stop it. These are signs of the times. And in the midst of all of this, we're being told, you're safe. You're secure. There's peace. Reminds me of Jeremiah, who says it two different times in the book of Jeremiah. They say peace, peace, but there's no peace. Signs of our time. In our Hebrews Bible study on Tuesday morning, we finished chapter 11 of Hebrews, and we got down to the end of chapter 11, and it really sounded like a downer chapter. This is how I ended that session. Okay, that's your pep talk for the week. Then I said, wait a minute, maybe we better read verse 1 of chapter 12. The hope is in verse 1 of chapter 12. Paul wants to make sure that when we read the times and the signs, that we also hear the hope. He says, even though there are signs all around us of the old age trying to hang on, I assure you, says Paul, that a new age has broken in. I assure you that through Jesus Christ, God is doing that new thing that God has promised for centuries and centuries, that the Holy Spirit is moving through us, and I want you to live into it. This is one of two places that we have talk about armor being a part of our Christian life together. The other one's in Ephesians. This one we have here says that we need to have a breastplate of faith and of love, and that we need to have a helmet of hope. Because times are tough out there. You need to be safe. Because times are tough out there, you need to be protected. Because times are tough out there, you need to take seriously how it is. But notice, Paul does not say, close yourselves in and don't interact with the world. If we did that, we wouldn't need the breastplate and the helmet. If we just locked ourselves in somewhere, it wouldn't matter that much. But Paul says, you're going to need those because you're going to be out amongst others. And notice what else Paul doesn't mention. He doesn't mention a sword or a spear or a pike or a bow. No offensive weapons. This is about receiving the new age in Jesus Christ and sharing it with others and guarding it in our own lives while at the same time giving it away. Paul uses every single metaphor he can think of in these 11 verses. Drunk and sober, day and night, light and dark. Helmets, breastplates, time, seasons. Oh my, he tries to talk about this every way he can because he wants to be sure that we understand it. Folks, a new day has dawned. It began to dawn thousands of years ago, but these words are still pertinent to us today. This week, as you think about those things for which you can be thankful in your lives, you might list a home, family, friends, employment, food, joy, health, healthcare. There are so many things that you might mention. Please know that the God who helps for those things to be in your life intends those things in the lives of all of God's children. Please know that one of the best ways that you can give thanks this week, today, and every day is to share those things for which you are thankful so that God's abundance might move through the earth. On Wednesday, we got to spend some time with some of our Muslim friends, some of whom will be with us for dinner today. And we were in a small group, and Beth Damsgaard Rodriguez asked us to talk about how can we show that we're thankful. And a man sitting next to me immediately said, the way we show we're thankful to God is by giving to others in need. The way that we can show that we're thankful to God is by giving to others in need. So that sounds really Christian to me. It sounds very biblical to me. It sounds very disciple-y to me. This guy sat there claiming, I didn't get any proof, or did I, that he was a Muslim. that he's not a member of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. What gives? One of the women in our small group reminded us all as we were finishing up that night, "Oh, it's so good to be together with other people of faith." She brought her breastplate, apparently. Other people of faith, other people who look to God and realize, "Oh God, how can I thank you?" And their faith tells them one way that I can thank God is by sharing with other people. And the thing is, in this world where there's difficulty, where there's brokenness, where there's hurt, where there's anger, and where there's fear, when we share with one another, when we share goods and time and love and forgiveness and restoration, the new age continues to break in, and it continues to push the old age out. All those things I mentioned before, war and abuse and hunger and strife and sickness, all of those hurts of the world need God's restorative power working through God's people. Protection, restoration, forgiveness, and transformation. And we are called to be a part of that. Which is how Paul ends this passage. In essence, he says, therefore, hang in there and take care of each other. You're going to need each other's support as you face this world into which a new age has broken and around which the old age is still trying to cling. This weekend in the New York Times, they republished an article from 2012 about how to get and keep friends. And they were saying that sometimes it's really hard after you're in about 30s or so to make new lifetime friends. And the scholars who were presenting the study said that it's because lifetime friends and the maintenance and upkeep of those friendships require three things. And the three things are these. You have to have proximity. You got to be close to each other. And you have to have regular and sometimes unscheduled contact with those people. And then third, you've got to have a setting where you can let your guard down and be yourself and trust the people you're with. And that just doesn't happen very often for people once they hit their 30s, the article said. And I thought to myself, well, I won't say out loud while I'm preaching what I thought to myself, but let's just say something like, rubbish is what I thought to myself. Every week, the people of God are in close proximity one to another. And we have scheduled and sometimes unscheduled interactions with each other. And we have an opportunity to let our guard down, to trust each other, to know that no matter what's happening in our lives, we're loved and we can participate in growth and transformation and forgiveness and restoration. It's true. It's true for most people who would read that article in this nation where very few people are still a part of communities of faith. They are going to have a hard time building strong, long-lasting relationships. It can happen, but one way it can happen is when the people of God come together, when people of faith gather in proximity and see each other again and again and trust each other. As the friendship bonds strengthen, the new age grows among us. And the old age's grip on the world slowly releases. So, if you are thankful today, remember the God who gave you life. If you are thankful today, remember the God who calls you to discipleship. If you are thankful today, share that thanksgiving with others. Stay close. Take care of one another. And for this congregation, I would say specifically, let us continue to take care of one another. Every year at this time, when we do the turkey and getting everything ready thing, I'm always amazed. See, I grew up in a household where we did a turkey every year, and not everybody in my household growing up did that well. So we had about 5 people, sometimes 7 or 8 people in the household, and there was cooking, and there were cranberries, and there was turkey, and there was stuffing, and there was screaming, and there was hollering, and there was stomping out, and there was not talking to each other, and there was sometimes the turkey was on the floor, sometimes there was a fire in the oven, right? Great cooks. It's just hard to be in a kitchen when lots of stuff's going on. And so every year I think to myself, here we go. You know how many people we had doing how many things this morning in that small space? I don't know how many chiefs, leaders, directors, or managers there were. I just know I wasn't one of them. And do you know what I saw? I saw a new age dance. I saw people entering and leaving the arena with turkeys and fruit and vegetables and pie and potatoes and ideas and tables and napkins and water and lemonade and coffee in and out, back and forth, utensils, people pivoting, people smiling, people waiting while somebody else spoke, people listening while someone changed their mind, tables moving, spoons and forks and knives and plates and dishwashers and towels, a new age dance, a movement of God's people enjoying one another's presence, a movement of God's people shared together in community, a movement of God's people expressing their thanksgiving out loud. For that glimpse of the inbreaking of the new age, I am thankful today. We are awake. We are sober-minded. We are aware of the new age that has begun. We know what time it is. We are aware of the season. Let us continue through faith, through love, and in hope to share that with the world. I hope that you all plan to stay for lunch today. I hope that you'll get a chance to speak with our neighbors who will be joining us, other people of faith, people who believe that God has spoken and is still speaking, that God has acted and is still acting in this world, and that there's a reason for us to move forward. As we give thanks, we'll be finishing packing up Thanksgiving bags and sending them out the door to neighbors who need them. As we give thanks, we'll be lifting praise to God and acknowledging the salvation that we know through Jesus Christ. As we give thanks, we'll be sharing together one with another for those things, for each of those things. Let it truly be said that the people in this place really know what time it is, and that the people in this place really, really care. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we prepare to sing this morning, if you're here and you'd like to make a proclamation of faith in Jesus Christ, or you'd like to join this congregation in our ongoing mission and ministry, I invite you to come forward during the hymn.